Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 13th day of October 2016. Well, a lot of things still happening in the eastern part of North Carolina. High school athletics disrupted, schools not open, people are losing their lives, and the massive flooding that's going on in eastern North Carolina. So I'd like to take this opportunity to ask everyone out there, if you will, first send up your prayers for all those people in eastern North Carolina. Lumberton underwater, Fayetteville almost cut off, my home county of Hereford County really getting beat down, towns totally shut off from the world. Your prayers and also your money, you can contact the Red Cross or the governor's office here in North Carolina, and they have safe, secure ways to get money and goods and services to those in need in North Carolina. And I'm speaking specifically now to those in North Carolina. Remember, we take care of each other. No matter what the issues are, that's all just a game. Let's get out here and play the game of life and help each other. Really massive efforts are needed in order to make sure that there's no more loss of life. And like I said, go to the American Red Cross or, you know, look up the governor's office, North Carolina Highway Patrol. They have specific ways with the public safety department there to get money and goods to those individuals. So let's get out and do that. But tonight, we have a special show and a special guest on the Overtime Sports Show. Right now on the Overtime Hotline, I have Karen McConico. Now, she is the head women's basketball coach at Spring Hill College out of Mobile, Alabama. Good afternoon or good evening, Coach. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you, Mike?
Oh, I am hanging in there, just throwing up those prayers for the people here in eastern North Carolina that we can get through this and move on, and hopefully no other storms are on the horizon to come along, because that really would be tragic. But we need to move on and help North Carolinians helping North Carolinians. Well, Coach, let's talk about your background. I did some reading, and I tell you what, it's so extensive. What I'm going to do is I'm going to step back and let you talk about the road that you took to get down to Spring Hill College and take over that program.
Okay, well, first of all, I was at High Point University after I played professionally in Switzerland years ago. I started coaching at High Point University. I was there for 8 years, and after 8 years has passed as being an assistant coach, I was at that point I had the itch. I wanted to be a head coach. So my husband had actually went on the NCAA website, and he saw Spring Hill College, and I'm going to be honest with you, I really was like, Mobile, Alabama? I really wasn't sure about it because I didn't know. I thought it had one stoplight, one restaurant. I wasn't sure. But my husband just really convinced me to just apply and just see what happens. And once I applied and I got the call, I got off the plane, and I realized it wasn't in the woods, and it looked like a great place to live. And once I stepped on the campus, I absolutely fell in love with the campus. And at that point, I really, really wanted that job at Spring Hill College. And I got the job, and, you know, the rest is history. And I've been here now going on my sixth season.
And since coming there, you've led the Badgers to winning records. You know, now you've been in the SIAC, we talked about off-air, about 3 years now, which probably, you know, you're getting eligible for conference championships and things in every sport. And, you know, you just basically came in and took the conference by storm, considering you were the new kids on the block. Talk about, you know, coming into a new conference, and, you know, when you go to a new conference, sometimes it's a step up in competition, not really a lateral move, because you always want to move up. But talk about the transition coming from your old conference into the new one and the difference in the talent level in your new one.
You know, to be honest with you, the conference that we came from was very competitive. It was a tough league. It was a lot of All-Americans in that league. It was a lot of D1 transfers. So as far as competition, it was about the same, but I would say the biggest difference would be the physicality in the game, the athleticism every single night. And the SIAC, their model is we play hard, and I'm going to tell you, every single night, they really do play hard. Our kids, I said, you're going to feel like you're in a dogfight every night. You got to give everything that you have. Like I said, it's a tough conference. I actually enjoy the conference. Our kids, I tell them, you got to be tough in this conference in order to survive, and I think it really, you know, brings out the best in our kids when they get put in that situation. So it's been a great transition for us. We've enjoyed every aspect of it, the atmosphere, the bands. It's just completely different from our last conference. You go in, it's a band playing, and our kids are getting hyped for the game. So we have really enjoyed our move into the SIAC.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. I've talked to a few coaches now from the SIAC here on the show, and that's the first thing every coach says is that every night you come to play, every night you must come to play, and you must come with, quote, the armor on, because it's going to be a very physical type battle every single night. And it sounds like the officials let y'all play basketball, which is good. And so this, you know, one thing I hate is these little touchy-touchy type fouls in conferences where, you know, you go in and it kind of hurts you, I think, when you get to the NCAA level, get into the playoffs, where you're not used to that physicality if you come from one of those little finesse conferences and you're really behind the eight ball. I think you're ahead of the ball game if you can play with that power, because that also teaches you the restraint and knowing when you can get your fouls and when you can't get your fouls, and, you know, and how to play to keep from getting fouls if you play that physical type game.
Right.
Now, when you bring in, you know, talk about some of your impact players. Last year had a pretty good season coming into this year. I know, you know, everybody right now is looking for that, you know, that shiny conference ring at the end of the rainbow and then moving into the national tournament. But talk about some players on your team that are impact players that maybe were there from last year and some of the new ones you're bringing in this year.
Okay, well, we have we actually return our entire starting lineup. We return one on the preseason all conference team, which is Leah Washington. She's a senior, a fifth-year senior. She's a really a great player. She's been here, but, you know, it's just she hadn't completely took on the we play hard motto. But she came back this year from summer knowing that this is her last go-round. So I think she's mentally in a better place, and I think she's going to have a great year. Like I said, we return all five of our starters, but every single night that's being, you know, when we start playing, I think that'll be contested. We don't have a set starting lineup. We bring back Alicia Drayton. She's a great slasher. She started for us last year, and she also played extremely hard. So our team, we're a real balanced team. We didn't really have anybody that averaged like 15, 20. We had a lot of 10, 10, 9, 9 kind of situation on any given night. Anybody can score, so it's kind of hard to say. But I did bring in, like, last year's team. We had a lot of good pieces, but we really just didn't put it, you know, together the way we wanted to. We were a little disappointed in how we finished last year. We finished third, but we still feel like we underachieved. And so the biggest piece that I tried to fill this past season was our point guard. We bought in a point guard last year, but she wasn't quite ready. Like you said, the physicality of the game, she wasn't ready for that. But we needed a point guard, so I went in, out and I got a transfer point guard from a JUCO, and she's a true point guard, and that's what we needed. It's just like football. If you don't have a good quarterback, you won't be very good. You're going to struggle.
Right.
And so I think that was the biggest – I think that's the biggest thing I went out this summer to get was that point guard position, because we can be successful. And then last year I had to ask my two guard, my shooting guard, which is our big-time scorer, to be a point guard. So a lot of times she was completely exhausted from having to take on the role of point guard and trying to score. So I think last year is going to help her this year. And the one I'm talking about is Jennifer Clark. She's a shooting guard, but she's a great shooter. But last year she had to take on too many hats. And so I think with the addition of Jontae Hughes, which is a little point guard, a little feisty, she loves the game. She comes from a successful team. She knows how to win. She was in a conference where they did a lot of trapping. So I think she's really going to help us. I also bought in two post players. One in Angel Carson. She's from Georgia. She's a Dennis Rodman type player. Skill for skill, she's not going to win, but you're not going to outwork her. So, like they say, hard work beats talent any day. And I think people are going to be very honored to just watch her play. And I'm honored as a coach to just see her. She plays so hard. And we have another post in Katie Kraut. She's a 6-foot post player. I think she's going to make a big impact. She really, really, truly wants to be the best. She wanted to know, you know, what are the records in the post? How many? What's the most rebounds people have ever gotten? And she's a worker, so she's just not talking. She's a worker. Like I said, and all the kids I bought in other kids, like I said, I bought in 8. I returned 7. But the new kids are blue-collar workers. They work their butts off, and I think that's going to make a difference. It's been infectious with our returners. They have taken on that same attitude. So I think it's going to be big for us this coming season.
Yeah, you know, I did about 20 years of coaching myself. And, you know, my favorite team, we won championships when I coached and we did all this stuff. But my favorite team was like my second team that I ever coached at this specific school. And we went like 1-9. And people look at me like, how can you say 1-9 is your favorite team? But I'm going to tell you why. We had 32 kids on that team. This was football. We had 32 kids on that team. I had no talent whatsoever, none. But I tell you one thing. They gave me absolutely, positively, game in, game out, practice in, practice out. They gave me every single thing they had. They did. And it's a cliche. Right. I know some coaches say that. But I'm telling you, Coach, there was one game where we literally had to go out there and basically pick them up off the field. They were exhausted from giving everything they had. And what more can any coach – I don't care what the record is. I don't care.
Right.
What more could any coach ask from any kid than to give everything they got every single play and every single game? And that team is my favorite team out of all the teams that I coached, and they were 1-9. And it's just and I heard you just light up when you talked about the young lady that was a Dennis Rodman type. She's not going to outwork her. Now, she may not be hitting three-point shots, but I tell you what, she will hit the person that is shooting the three-point shot. I tell you that.
Exactly.
So that's the work that you're looking for. That's great. I like that. I really do. I get fired up when I hear stuff like that. I get really fired up. Let me ask you something now. You talk about JUCO players. I've asked this question a lot. When you're building a team, when you're coming, like you said, you came into a new conference, your old conference was rough, but you're coming into a new conference. Do you feel like as a head coach that it is better to try to build around JUCO players and get that immediate maturity and like I like to say, physicality and feistiness level? Or is it better to get in your freshman, mold them in the Badger way from day one, and just go on from there? What do you think is better?
I'm going to be honest with you, going into my sixth year, I've done a little bit of both. And I just think, honestly, I think you got to have a mix. I think, like, I brought in six freshmen and two JUCO kids. So I think a mix is a little bit better because you do need that leadership in your point guard. And then I can bring in a freshman point guard is good because they can train under that JUCO point guard. So she can help train her. And so when she leaves, she'll be ready. And she'll be a player that's been in your program at that point. You know, she'll give you 4 years. But she's been, been over somebody that's a good leader that has some experience. So I think it's a mix. Like I said, I've done it where I've just brought in all freshmen. I've also done it, well, not completely done it, with all JUCOs. But, they come with, last coach's expectations.
Right.
So it's a little different, but I think a good mix, both.
And now that it seems like the big trend, I know it looks like in the MEAC, they're leaning a little bit this way in every sport. But what about bringing in, like, the international player? Now, I've seen several teams build around international players because they have a little bit of a different work ethic where they come from because that's all they do. I mean, they go to school and their school is basketball or volleyball or whatever. Then you go to class for a couple of hours and you're back to basketball and volleyball or whatever. So what about bringing in that international player? Do you think that changes the dynamic any or have you ever dealt with the international player?
I really don't have any international players on my team, but I have, our men's coach, he has a couple international players, and those kids do play hard. They come from a different walk of life. A lot of the kids that he had in the past hadn't been as privileged, so they worked a lot harder. So they really took the opportunity and savored every moment. So, that was contagious for his guys. So, like I said, I really hadn't had a lot of experience with international kids. But if I had an opportunity to get one, I probably would, because they all are workers, and they're very thankful for their opportunity.
Yeah, it was very interesting because I talked to a kid from, I think it was Serbia, and, he was from the other team, but I was sitting down talking to him, and, I said, you got a work ethic that's just absolutely crazy, insane. I watch you play. He said, where I come from, if you don't win, you don't eat dinner. So in order to eat, you better be a winner. So that's why that's why I go out there and give it everything I got. He said, here in America, he said, there's food everywhere. He said, but where I come from, basically, if you don't win, then you don't eat. Your family doesn't have a place to stay. They don't have a car. They don't have anything because, and that's why they come out there and do, you know, all they do. And they find it a little bit easier when they come to America because it's just not quite that way. Well, let's move into 2016, 2017. Brand new season coming up. Everybody has those expectations. Now, I know that you know, you finished third in the conference last year, and I know that they have all these preseason picks, and you know, they always sit around and say, well, who's going to be number one and all that stuff. And like I used to always tell them when they asked me, I said, fellas, I know who number one's going to be. I'm going to let you guys fight over two, three, four, and five. So talk about your conference overall as far as how things are going to stack up in 2016 and how you see them lining up.
It's hard to say because, like you said, we have a lot of great teams in the SIAC. Like I said, we last year we had taken the number one team, and we were up by 9 with a minute and 38 seconds left in the game. We end up turning the ball over 32 times in that game and lost in overtime 78-72. So that's the type of conference that we have. Like I said, we finished third, but we were plenty capable of also finishing in first. So it's those top three or four, it's a fight every night. Like I said, even the bottom teams, it doesn't matter. You have to come ready to play. We have a tough conference, but like I said, very athletic. But kids are hungry. They want this. And sometimes I think they feel like they're overlooked because they're at a Division II school. So sometimes they play a little harder, you know, want to prove that they belong. So I think in our conference, we're trying to get our name out there, the SIAC, letting everybody know that we do play hard. We're a good conference. We have good players as well as other teams. So I think, like I said, I think we have a good conference. Of course we want to finish first. Our kids, we have high expectations. We feel like I said earlier, we underachieved. We hadn't quite put it together yet, but like I said, now that we have four seniors and some kids that have been here for a minute, I feel like we're in a good place. I think we're right where we need to be to really take this conference by storm.
Yeah, you know, I would love to see, you know, in this area of North Carolina, Virginia, you know, South Carolina, part of the world, we have the CIAA. And the CIAA, you know, is probably, you know, one of the more premier Division II conferences in the country. I would love to see, like, a tournament kind of like the ACC and the Big Ten do between, you know, the SIAC, the CIAA. I'd even like to see one between the MEAC and the SWAC because both of the conferences, to be honest with you, we all need one another. So we all probably need to, like, work together to you know, make these things happen, because I honestly believe that between the SIAC and the CIAA, you're going to see some of the best athletes in the country. And just because it's Division II, that doesn't mean anything. That just means you want to go to the school, and the school just happened to be a Division II. That doesn't mean that's your talent level. That just means that you're, you know, the first thing about everything is education. And that school is best for you to get an education and best for you to play basketball, so that's where you're going to go. If it was Pungo State, it's what's best for you. And just because it's Division II does not mean a thing. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of talent in our league. It really is. It's a lot of talent. Like you said, with the CIAA, we're actually coming to Raleigh in December to play Shaw University. So we're going to get a taste of the CIAA.
Oh, yeah, and I tell you, Shaw is playing them at home is like the gym is one of those, they call it the friendly confines, and everybody's right on top of you. It does get a bit irritating, but they're right on top of you. They're screaming, they're yelling, it's loud, it's hot, it's jumping, it's vibrating. I mean, that's a great college atmosphere to come into over there at Shaw University because they know how to do it right.
You know, our kids, because of our conference, I think that's what we need. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to come play Shaw, because I know they're going to be a great team, and it's going to be great for us going into our conference.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, we talk about a physicality thing. What I like to tell, you know, even, you know, I've watched an exhibition game one time, and I tell everybody before you go in there to play, get your mouthpieces, because if you're talking about it being physical, it is going to be physical. And that'll get you right for anything, including Marine Corps when you go in there. That's amazing. Well, Coach, if I was a parent or a player who is looking to come down to Spring Hill, who wants to play basketball for you or want to play basketball in general, and you're trying to get me to come, trying to recruit me, what would you tell me about Spring Hill to make me say, ah, that is the place I want to be?
I'll be honest with you. Spring Hill is a great place. It's a beautiful campus. We have high academic standards here. I tell people all the time, we don't have any easy classes. I said, we don't have any PE classes. We don't have any activity classes. We just have all straight majors. We don't have anything easy. This is a place where you're going to come and you're going to get it, you know, you're going to get a good education. And being that I was a Division I coach for 8 years, I don't look at it any different. I look at it as basketball. The same expectations I had for my Division I players, I have for my D2 players. It's the same to me. It's basketball. So if you want to come here and you want to play for a coach that loves basketball, that's passionate about what she does, you're in the right place at the right time. We're peaking. We're about to be eligible for postseason. So it's a great time right now to be a Badger. Like I said, I tell people this all the time. I'm probably one of the most competitive people you all want to meet. I want to win at everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want a coach that wants to win, that wants to be successful, you're in the right place. I don't want to just teach my kids about X's and O's. I want to teach them about life as well. And I think Spring Hill College gives us a great mix of all of those things. It's all about, you know, forming leaders.
Well, Coach, I tell you, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I was coughing. Excuse me.
Oh, no problem.
Go ahead.
I understand. The allergy season has not left yet. I understand. I woke up this morning. I know where you're coming from. Okay. Yeah, I you know, that's one thing that I really love to hear from coaches and players. First and foremost, next to my heart, is academics. Okay, I don't, you know, it is a privilege, not a right, to wear that Badger name across your chest. It's not something that's given to you. It's something that you have to earn. And that's where a lot of freshmen sometimes fall a little short because, you know, sometimes they come from programs where they were the top dog. They were the ones that got the pat on the back and the attaboys and all that stuff. And then when they come to a college environment, they're one of I don't know how many thousands of students that you have. The only thing different about them is they can play basketball a little bit. But everything else is an expectation. You got to get up and go to class. You got to go to study halls. You got to go to treatments. You got to go to coaches' meetings. You got to do everything. It's called time management. And a lot of them, and I actually heard this one day, where a counselor was talking to one of the, I won't say what sport, but talking to an athlete, and the athlete said to the counselor, "You mean I got to go to class?" I almost dropped my coffee. I said, I turned around. That's exactly what I said too. Wow, are you just really? Oh, really? You're a Division I athlete, and you're asking if you have to go to class? Wow.
I guess they forget about the student is first.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting there, and that bugged my mind. That just really messed my head up for the rest of the day. I was like, now how many more kids feel that way, and how many more need to be broke off at the knees? Because she tore into him like my coach would have torn into me, and I enjoyed every second of hearing what she said. It was great. But she let him have it. And I'm just sitting there like, wow. They actually have the expectation that they're going to come in here and do nothing? Are you kidding me?
Right.
My goodness. Well, anyway, Coach, thank you so much for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show. And what I'd like to do is, as the season progresses and you get into your games, I'd like to get you back on the show and talk about how your team is doing. And hopefully, if I'm not on the road with North Carolina Central, I'll come over to Shaw and catch, you know, y'all's game against one another. I'd love to do that and talk to you and just stop by and say hello and maybe do an interview from there. But I'd love to get you back on the show and talk about your basketball team and where they are at that point.
Okay, that'll be great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Hey, it was an honor, Coach. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye. That was Coach Karen McConico, and she is the head women's basketball coach at Spring Hill College in Mobile, Alabama. and it was an honor to have her on the show tonight. And Spring Hill, you know, we don't have many schools from Alabama on the show, and it was just an honor to get her to come on tonight and talk about that. But truly, I can't wait till the season starts, and we'll get her back on the air. But I'll tell you what, we'll be back right after this break, right here on the Overtime Sports Show.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for listening tonight as we talk to head basketball coach from Spring Hill College in Mobile, Alabama, Karen McConico. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Coach. Well, like I said, don't forget now, just eastern North Carolina is really being ravaged by floodwaters. And to be honest with you, things are not going to peak till Saturday or Sunday. So we actually have 2 days that things could get worse. And people are, you know, trapped, cut off basically from the world. Things are being dropped in by helicopters, Humvees, and National Guards down there, Highway Patrol, local police. They've even sent sheriff's deputies from Durham County to various other eastern North Carolina counties to help out. And I tell you what, it's just a mess. Bethune-Cookman's volleyball team, who played North Carolina Central on Sunday, believe it or not, they've still not gone home. They're just going to leave from, I think they're leaving from Durham or Greensboro, and they're going up to D.C. to play a volleyball match, and they have yet to go back to Daytona Beach because the dormitories are messed up, the football field is messed up, the gym is messed up. Everything is just messed up down there, and they're trying to get everything right, get the students back in school. We have several schools here, districts here in North Carolina, several counties. The kids are not even able to go back to school because they have nowhere to live. And now, you know, when the floodwaters recede, that's all well and cute, but now you've got to go in and you've got to clean it up and get the mold out of there and throw out the old equipment and buy new equipment. And you got Campbell University. I understand they were taking classes. They were still trying to work through it, even though they had no power on campus. They were still trying to stick to it and work through it. I mean, it's just a mess here in North Carolina, what Matthew has done. Now, what we can do as North Carolinians, hey, give to the American Red Cross, you know, get together supplies, find out from, you know, the police departments down there, the Highway Patrol, the North Carolina Highway Public Safety people, the governor's office, find out how you can get those supplies to whichever county you choose to send them to, because it is a mess. And as North Carolinians, we need to help one another out. I know it's a political year. There's a lot of contention on both sides, but none of that matters anymore. We've got to help one another. I tell you, it should be the feeling that we had right after 9/11. Right after 9/11, it was no black Americans, it was no white Americans, it was no Jewish Americans. We were all Americans, and we were ready to tear the head off whatever snake that was that did that to us. We came together as a nation, the people who did it, paid for it. They're still paying for it. They're going to continue to pay for it. And we came together as Americans. And it was 2 weeks of the best bliss I've ever seen and I've ever experienced in my life. It's where we all came together and look what we got done. So we've got to do the same thing now here in North Carolina and other parts of the world. Look at Haiti. Haiti's been hit hard, and aid is just trickling in over in Haiti. So we've got to also help them too. But we have to start right here at home. Charity begins at home. And work with North Carolinians. Well, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. It's been an honor and a pleasure to bring it to you. We will be back on tomorrow night at 6:30 right here on Blog Talk Radio. So until then, goodbye, everybody.